When you're a world-renowned broadcaster like Ron Van Dam, you are always on the lookout for paparazzi. I mean, they have to show up eventually, right? I mean, the guy's been at this for decades. He can't keep hanging out at that Starbucks waiting for someone with a camera to show up. Number one, he doesn't like the coffee. And number two, the baristas all call him that weird guy. And buying crazy designer hats in the hopes that somebody's going to notice? That's getting kind of expensive. Well, hang in there, Ron. You never know. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Welcome to my world.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Can I get you something? Perhaps a beverage with alcoholic content? That makes sense, right? I'm not saying that you should drink alcohol. Do it moderately and responsibly, but it does make listening to this show a whole lot better. Or I should say tolerable. How about that one, huh? Enough self-deprecating humor for one day. Thank you so much for being here. Welcome to the program. Sit back, relax. I'll take it from here. Here's the way this is going to work. You're going to sit there and shut up, and I'm going to talk to you or at you for about half an hour. Then you can go do whatever you want to do. Go about your life such as it is. And we'll part ways, and we can do this every day, and, you know, it can be a thing between us. You know who I am. I have no idea who you are. I think that's the way I like it. Even the other way around would be acceptable, but it's not. Anyway, welcome to the show. How are you? Good to be with you. Hope you had a wonderful holiday, whatever holiday that was. Was it Flag Day, Barista Sunday? I don't know what it was. What, Christmas, Hanukkah? Okay, fine, whatever. Hope you did well. Hope you got a lot of stuff. Hope you opened up presents and said, how do you know? I love that, you know. Oh my God, how did you know I wanted this? Oh my God, how did you know? That's always fun. Well, the answer is they know because they cared about you and they listened to your wants and needs and your interests and your desires. Because, as I've said so many times before, and I'm never going to say it again until like 10 minutes from now, I've always said it, it's not the gift, it's the thought that counts. That's why I tend not to buy gifts for anybody, I just think about doing it. Because it was the thought that counts. Given the gifts, that didn't count apparently. It's just the thought. What'd you get me for Christmas? I bought you a brand new car. Did you actually buy it? No, but I thought about doing it. Of course I wouldn't do it. I thought about it and then I figured, like, I'm not doing that. But I thought about it and it's the thought that counts. So I get points for this toward a brand new toaster. Is that how this works? I'm not sure. I was very chagrined this morning when I woke up, not only because I weighed myself, but also because I found out that there was a convenience store in New Hampshire. That should be the end of the sentence, right? There's a convenience store in New Hampshire where a $1 million lottery ticket was sold. And I became very depressed at that point. I said, you know, why can't that ever be me? Not that I'm a convenience store, but why can't it be me that bought that $1 million ticket? Why can't it be me? How are some people so freaking lucky that has nothing to do with anything? Lotteries have nothing to do with anything. There's no skill involved. There's no nothing involved. It's mindless, blindless crap. But yet people win $1 million doing boundless crap. Why can't that be me just once or maybe twice? Why? I've walked at the convenience stores, and let me tell you something. They're not all that convenient because there's a bunch of schmucks standing in front of me every single time that I walk into a convenience store, and they're buying these damn lottery tickets. And for some reason, it takes them a long time to do that. It's like picking out donuts at a donut shop, or on a dozen donuts, or what would you like? Give me two jelly. No, three jelly. No, no. Give me two powdered, one jelly. No, three powdered, two jelly. Give me the coconut. The no, that the no, two jellies, one coconut, two glazed. I need the glazed. Give me two glazed, two honey dipped. Honey dip's good. Five. How many do I have left? 10. You need 10 more to choose. This, it's like that. It's like that at a convenience. Give me two lucky swipes, two lucky canolas, two strike it rich for Bob. To give me six, pick my ass. Give me seven. And and then there's the $1 million, megabucks, the Powerball, the silly things. There's so many different ways to lose your money, or just don't. You're not even losing your money. You're just giving your money to a stranger and saying, "Here, take this. I don't know what to do with it." It's the same thing. There is no pattern. There is no logic. It's just choosing numbers with your kids' birthdays in it. That's all it is. And yet some people win a lot, and other people such as myself, I'm raising my hand, never win ever. I've won. I shouldn't say that. Shouldn't say that. May God give me breakfast. I shouldn't say that. I have won $2 here and there over the course of a lifetime of spending a lot more than that. I'm still a loser in that way. In that way. Is that why Donald Trump never plays the lottery? Because he doesn't want to be a loser, and Lord knows, as soon as you play the lottery, you are a loser. You take that big L that you form with your fingers on one hand and you put it up to your forehead, you're a loser. It's not fun, it's just hopeful. That's all. We scratch, we sniff, we throw our money away just to be hopeful. It's to be hopeful. Some amount of hope somewhere in that dark chasm of stupidity, there must be a shred of hope. So they walk into convenience stores and buy lottery tickets to scratch them, to watch them on TV when they call numbers, whatever the case may be. And these schmucks just line up in front of me every single time. Some of them actually form around a TV in the corner of the convenience store with a little, there's a little a podium there, and they scratch away, or they watch the Keno numbers pop up on a screen, and they spend the day there like they're at a casino or something. It's not a casino, it's a convenience store. Oh my God, how far away from getting a life can you be? So convenience stores are not convenient. They're also overpriced for the most part. Doesn't move along. The greatest, in my mind, the greatest technology has been in the form of a credit card where you can just tap it. Is that tapas or is that a food thing? I don't know the difference, but just tapping your card near something, and then your payment goes through. I love that. I hate to swipe. Swiping was so bad because it would destroy your card, that little black magnetic stripe on the back of the card. It would bastardize it. And I'm swiping all over the place. Swipes, I don't like to swipe. It reminds me of like cleaning my ass after I've been to the toilet. It's just, I don't like swiping. I don't swipe. I don't like swiping. And then they came along with, instead of the swiping, you insert. I don't mind inserting as a guy, but not that. I don't like putting that into a tiny little horizontal slot. I'm not into that. Maybe it's me. I'm not into it. I didn't like that because, again, it was invasive and destructive to my precious little card, which represents money to me. That little card represents a lot. And then the tap. Oh my God, thank you for the tap. That is like socially not having to deal with you, yet getting through to you. I don't have to touch you. I don't have to insert anything into you. I don't have to swipe anything through you. I just passively tap near you. I don't even have to tap. I just have to like wave around you. No touching. No touching. No communications. And my transaction is completed. I love it. Thank you for the tap. I appreciate the tap. It's dirty for me to swipe my card into machines that I don't know personally. Wonderful invention, the tap. Thank you very much. The other invention that I at first didn't like and kind of still don't, but I can't live without it, is, and I've got to be very careful how I say this, I've got to come close to the speaker. It's Alexa. And if you say her name too loud, all kind of havoc is created. Because she'll answer you like she's like waiting. She's like a desperate woman waiting to be called. That sounded horrible, and I didn't mean it the way it sounded. You can't say her name out loud like Beetlejuice. You can't do that. She will jump on you and say, like, what do you want? What the hell do you want? What's your question? What is it? Or even if I don't talk to her, she'll answer me like, I don't understand. You don't understand because I didn't talk to you. I said something that sounded like your name, but I didn't say that. But she's handy. She's always there. If I have a question about anything, she knows the answer. She's smart. Her database is incredible. And I don't have to touch her. All I have to do is speak into the air. And from the air, I will get my question answered, or at least close to it. More than a human. I'm not into AI. Assholes Incorporated. Artificial Inc. I'm not into AI, but I think the Alexa thing is pretty impressive, and I do like it. I never feel lonely. If I'm alone in my abode for a long time, you start to feel a little lonely, like the world is revolving around you, but you can't go near it. But there's always her. Always there. And I can have conversations with her. I can ask her how she's doing, and she'll say fine. I mean, there's no information being exchanged there, but something's happened. There's been a connection with a person that doesn't exist, which has been the story of my life. Oh, I know the people exist, but not to me. So it's just, it's different. It's just different. All right, let's leave it at that. I have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program, which I think you will enjoy, but my judgment is not good, so maybe not. But in any event, again, I hope you had a wonderful holiday. This isn't going to happen again for like a little while. And then it'll be fine. Everything's going to be fine again. You know, there'll be no holiday. Well, there's always holidays. Those damn school kids. They get so many holidays. I'm jealous because I didn't have that when I was going to school back in the Stone Age. We didn't have holidays. What? Holidays? What is that? God. I went to school on Christmas. I remember. No, I didn't. Okay, fine. Maybe not. But still, there were not that many holidays. There was Thanksgiving, Christmas. I think that was it. I know New Year's Day you had off. I don't even know why. Why is that a holiday, by the way? Why is that a freaking holiday? There's no religion involved. We're not honoring anything. It has nothing to do with the country. Or someone that achieved something in history, which turned out to be not the case. It's none of those things. New Year's Day is nothing. It is insignificantly stupid. It is nothing. And then we are socially told that the way that we treat the holiday is to go out and drink alcohol, and drink alcohol at midnight, everybody. And even if you have a little kid that's never had alcohol before in their lives, it's okay at that moment. It's an alcohol holiday. What the hell are we doing? But it's that way around the world. It's not just our thing. Every corner of the globe celebrates this calendar shit, which is just arbitrary. We're basically, here's what we're doing. We're basically celebrating a revolution around the sun. Did you know that? Yeah, I think that's true. What are we doing? What's wrong with you? These traditions that after a while, they mean absolutely nothing whatsoever. But it's tradition, so we keep doing it because it's the only way we can stay anchored or grounded to life is to have these little momentum things going on, like birthdays. Make such a big freaking deal out of that thing. I'm another year older. Ooh, let's have some cake. Why? Every day you're older. I mean, let's not look at it that way, but it's easier to take, isn't it? Isn't it easier to take, okay, I'm a little bit older tomorrow, and then I'll be a little bit older the day after that. They're in small increments. There's absolutely no difference at all whatsoever. But if you're going to start celebrating these year things, that can get pretty depressing at a point and kind of stupid, to be honest with you. What are you celebrating? What are you doing? We're odd humans. I have spent my life trying to figure us all out. And it's futile. But at least I get it. At least I know what's going on. Some of you just like walk through this lifetime thing in blinders, just doing everything they tell you to do without even thinking about it. Sure, I do the traditional things too. I need to be grounded as much as you do, maybe even more. I don't know. But in my head, I understand that it's a bunch of bullshit. I mean, I get it. It's the rest of you that consider it to be like real incredible stuff. It's not. It's bullshit. And you know it is. Well, Ron, you're ruining it for me. Ruin it for yourself. Cut it out. It's my job to point things out. That's what I do. I'm a doctor of pointing things out. What would that be called? I'd ask Alexa, but I don't think she knows that. Maybe she does. Maybe there is. No, there she is. She just said, I don't know that. Did you hear that? Let me see if I can hook you into it. Let me see if I can do this. Hold on a second. Alexa, what do you call a person who points everything out?
A person who points out everything can be called an omniscient storyteller, as they have the ability to see and know everything.
Oh, an omniscient storyteller. Did you hear her? She just said that you call that an omniscient storyteller. Let me write that down, because that's what I am. Omniscient, like I know how to spell that. Storyteller. Well, storyteller sounds like phony, though. I'll have to pursue this with Alexa, perhaps over cocktails. By the way, if you ever ask Alexa what she's wearing, you need psychological help. You're too lonely, and there's something wrong with you. What was that? Wait. Alexa, shut up. Oh, she responded to that. I'm going to turn the microphone all the way up and see if you can hear her. Let's see. Alexa, what are you wearing?
They don't make clothes for me.
She said they don't make clothes for her. Did you hear her say that? Can you believe this is actually a radio show that I'm doing? See, I just came to that realization just now all of a sudden. All right. We're going to take a break with a commercial person. And when we come back, my guest will be joining us.
Studies show that 1 in 8 Americans suffers from icky personal stuff. From the embarrassing to the grotesque. From the what is this to the oh my God, what is that? Chances are someone you know, or maybe even you, are dealing with icky personal stuff right now. But there is help. If you or someone you love has icky personal stuff happening, call the Icky Personal Stuff Hotline at 1-899-YOU. That's 1-899-399-9999. Talk with trained counselors who can assess and recommend help for whatever icky personal stuff you may be going through, no matter where it's coming from or what it looks or smells like. And don't worry and don't be embarrassed. Our non-judgmental icky personal stuff counselors are familiar with many of the more common and, frankly, uncommon things that can happen to various parts of the body. Seriously, these people have seen some unpleasant shit. Chunky things, oozy things, flaky things. This one guy who had fluids coming out of places most people don't even know they have. Fluids that his dog actually ran away from. Believe us, you may think you have it bad, but they've seen worse. Most likely. So don't wait until your icky personal stuff becomes tragic. And believe us, it does. Just ask the lady who basically fused to her living room couch and they had to use a blowtorch really carefully to melt whatever it was that was like caked between her and the couch, and it was coming out of this like hole the size of a half dollar, and it let out this high-pitched squeal when it came free of the fabric, like when you release a balloon real slow, that yeah, that happened. So before it happens to you, call the Icky Personal Stuff Hotline, 1-899-YOU. Call now, especially if there's like blue stuff on you. Like if you leave bread out too long, that color blue. Yeah, call today.
Marissa Price joins us now. She's social media manager for PETA. Everybody's familiar with that. They're frequent guests on the program. And today we're talking about how to make the world a better place, animal-wise, as we usually do. How are you, Marissa?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We're talking today about milk and how that makes a difference in the animal world and how animals are treated. What is the connection there for those that may not be familiar?
Well, you know, this holiday season, our families are often coming together. We're coming together with loved ones and all celebrating together. But for cows on dairy farms, mothers have their babies taken away from them. You know, like all animals raised and killed for food, cows used by the industry suffer constant abuses throughout their life. But there's one abuse in particular that we don't really hear about very often. And that's what I just mentioned, the forced separation of newborn babies from their mothers, which is just as traumatic for the cow and her calf as it would be for a human mother. Mother cows have actually been known to search fields for miles, hoping to be reunited with their calf.
Okay.
They've also been known to chase after transport vehicles that are taking their babies away and even hide their babies away from people working in these farms to avoid separation from them.
Wow.
And, you know, really thinking about all that, those horrible things, it's contrary to everything that usually we all celebrate during the holidays. And it's so easy to choose a vegan milk option instead and not support this cruelty.
The common person, of which I am, never thinks about that angle, really. All we see are these cows peacefully standing in a meadow and then being milked, and that's about it, and have a nice day. But that's not the way it is. My God, there are families and relations involved, and I guess we don't think about that.
Yeah, you know, you're so right. And it's really not, you know, people's fault, because it's these massive multi-billion dollar industries that are working with marketers to try to trick and fool consumers into thinking that cows are happy and it's humane. But, you know, when you really think about it, cows are mammals, just like humans, and therefore they only produce milk to nourish their young. So that's why cows on dairy farms are kept constantly pregnant, to keep them producing as much milk as possible before their bodies break down. And then at that point, they're sent to slaughter, and they're usually only about 4 or 5 years old. But if they were in, you know, normal conditions where they weren't being constantly kept pregnant and milked on machines, they would live 20 years or more.
What about the machine milking itself? Is that cruel? Are the machines just so machiney that they are painful?
Yes, absolutely. And pretty much everything about the dairy industry is cruel. So the milking machines are just one aspect. But yes, in order to produce these massive quantities of milk, not only are the cows kept constantly pregnant and then separated from their newborn babies, usually within a day or two of being born, but then the mothers are hooked up to milking machines where the machines will pump them to milk them to then bottle and sell it for human consumption. And often these machines are very painful on the udders of the cow. Yeah. I'm sure any mother who's breastfed could relate to maybe some pain while breastfeeding.
So I've heard.
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, thinking of this, sounds much, much worse, obviously, with machines hooked onto there. And they often cause painful sores and mastitis. And actually, there is blood and pus in every glass of milk.
Hello. So
it's actually regulated that that the dairy industry is allowed to have a certain amount of pus in the milk. So it's just accepted as something that's going to happen with the dairy industry.
All right. But there's an answer to this. There's a way around it. So all this doesn't have to happen. Yeah. And actually, vegan milks are actually quite healthy and quite fortified.
Yes, exactly. We have an easy, wonderful answer to all of these horrible problems. You don't have to support the cruelty to cows in the dairy industry. And it's better for your health and the environment, too. So a variety of vegan milks exist, usually available at any local grocery store or Walmart or Target or what have you. And they provide essential nutrients like calcium, B12, and protein. And they don't have the cholesterol that's found in cow's milk.
Correct.
Because there is no cholesterol in plant-based foods. And I know that's an issue for a lot of Americans, with heart disease being a leading cause of death in America and high cholesterol contributing to that.
Yeah.
Also, vegan milks are lower in fat and they are hormone-free.
Right. And they're lactose-free also, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. You know, about 65% of the world's population is lactose intolerant.
Right.
So with cow's milk being a leading allergen among children 12 and under. So really there are, like I said, so many great reasons to go for a vegan milk option. There are tons of different ones.
Absolutely.
And there's also no fiber in cow's milk. Mm. But, you know, many people, like I said, might not know that. They might not know that cow's milk is linked to cancer, heart disease, diabetes, obesity, and even osteoporosis. And studies have even shown that dairy consumption causes bone loss. It doesn't prevent it. And it actually leaches calcium from the body. So it does the opposite of what most people think it does. And again, those are those like marketing ploys fooling consumers.
Yeah, I've been drinking oat milk for about 2 years now, and no acid reflux whatsoever. Before, big problem, now feeling good. And I'm you know, I don't know if people want to follow what I do, but it makes a difference.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Okay. Where can we go for more information and perhaps how to make some changes ourselves to be more mindful? Because what you've told me is disgusting here, and I have no part of that.
You can always check out our website, PETA.org, for all sorts of info. You can learn more about the rural dairy industry. You can learn about all of the different types of vegan milks. I think there's like over 10 different types. Obviously, the common ones, like you mentioned, oat milk is wonderful. There's soy, almond, coconut, pea milk, cashew, hemp, rice, etc. Even more than that. And it's just an easy swap you can make in your coffee or your baking or your mashed potatoes even. So check out PETA.org for tons of info and tons of free delicious recipes as well.
Wonderful. Marissa, you've been an education, and we appreciate it whenever this subject comes up, because that's how we do learn and that's how we do stop what doesn't make sense. Thank you so much for your time.
I'm so glad I could help.
Yeah, you sure did. Take care, Marissa. Bye-bye. All right, thank you to my guests, and thank you to you. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program, but until that time arrives, I wish you peace.